Yeah, I wanted to remind you this morning that about the series, Transforming Truths. It's not often we have a like a theme verse that takes us through the entire series and one lesson builds upon the next and upon the next. But this series, every lesson is separate from the previous one. They're verses or truths in the Bible that can help to transform our lives. And so each week it's a different one. And the neat thing about it is, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you're already familiar with a lot of these truths. You've heard preaching on them, or you've read it yourself, or you've read a book about it, or whatever. But wait for it to get your sheet there and get yourself situated. Today we're going to Philippians chapter 4, another very familiar promise or passage, a familiar place, a familiar verse, and again, you may even have it memorized. So let me just review quickly the last 2 weeks. We started in Romans chapter 1, where Paul instructed the Romans and therefore instructed us, are you listening? He instructed us to present our bodies, what? A living sacrifice. And how important that is. It's to yield ourselves to Christ. As long as we're functioning independently of Christ, we're not gonna have the fulfilled life that He wants us to have. Whenever I'm doing what I want to do, and apart from God, when I want to make my own decisions, do what I want to do, follow my path, follow my dreams, and God is outside the box, so to speak, then I won't have the fulfilled life that He wants me to have. But when I surrender to Him, say, Lord, You help me. You help me have the right desires. You give me the dreams You want me to have. You help me to make decisions based on Your will and so forth. Then I can have a joyful life, a fulfilled life that only comes by surrendering or presenting my body a living sacrifice. And then, of course, last week we went to Romans chapter 2, the very next verse. Those two verses really need to be together. We learned about what is that process of transformation? And we learned that it comes from the Word of God. It's by renewing our what? Our minds. And boy, we need a good brainwashing, don't we? Because this world feeds us garbage. That's a fancy Hebrew word, right? This world feeds us garbage 24/7, 365. From the moment you wake up in the morning, it comes at us by way of social media, it comes in the news, it comes on the billboards, it's on television, it is everywhere. Garbage, garbage, garbage. And so we need to renew our minds with God's Word. Amen. All right, so that brings us up to today. Another great truth, another great transforming truth is found in Philippians chapter 4. Have you turned there yet? Let's go ahead and look at it again. It's a very familiar verse. We've heard preaching on it, teaching. We've memorized it. We quote it. We tell it to others, as we should. But let's look at it now. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's it. That's just a short, succinct, powerful verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So let's say it together, shall we? Here we go. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? So we're going to challenge your thinking today a little bit. We're going to unpack this verse, this short verse, and look at how it can transform our lives. So let's pray and we'll launch into it. Thank You, Lord, for our Sunday school class time this morning. We pray, as always, that You would be the supreme teacher. I can stand here and give the lesson and use my words and speak and use my mouth and so forth, but we need Your power to be present. We need You to be the one that's speaking to the hearts through Your Word. And so we trust You for that. Help us this morning. We want to be transformed. I would hope to think that every individual under the sound of my voice this morning would say in their own mind, in their own heart, yes, Lord, I want to be transformed. I want to be more like Jesus. That ought to be our desire today. So help us as we look at Your Word with that goal in mind to see how Your Word, Your truth, can do exactly that, transform us. And we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times in our lives, our Christian lives, God will allow challenges and circumstances, trials and tests to come our way. And oftentimes we find ourselves saying, you know what? I'm not so sure I'm capable. We use this word. I'm not capable. I don't have the wherewithal to do what God is asking me to do or to go through what He's asking me to go through. And we need to intercept, if you please, that thought process immediately, because what God is teaching us in this verse this morning is that, hey, wait a minute, I can do all things. Hold it now, we don't stop there. It's not about me. Through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the only way that I can do it. If I try to do it myself, I'll fail. But if I claim the incredible power of God and claim the strength that He promises me, then guess what? Yes, I can do what God has asked me to do. It's not like we sometimes we use this verse a little bit out of context. Well, you know, can you lift this car? Of course I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hey, what's happening? It's not working. No, it's not what the verse is for. It's whatever God asked you to do, whatever God commissions you to do, whatever God has in mind for you to do according to His will, He will give you the strength to accomplish it. Amen. So whenever you come to the realization God wants me to do A, B, C, you can rest assured God will give you the strength to completely accomplish A, B, and C. And that's really the lesson in a nutshell today. We could probably have a closing prayer now and move on. But that's really the lesson. So He gives us the strength or the power to do all things. So in the lesson today, I want us to accomplish these things. One of the things we want to accomplish in the lesson today is that we are not designed to carry burdens alone. God is beside us. He's with us. also, that God equips us to do anything, you're listening, anything, because the verse says all things. He equips us to do anything He asks us to do. And another thing I want us to see today is this, is that God is a friend who helps and cultivates in us a greater love for Him. Now, you may not have, and this isn't part of the lesson, let me just interject this quickly. You may never have thought of God as a friend, but He is your friend. He calls you His friend. God is our friend. You know, the world can't claim that kind of a relationship. For an unregenerate world, at best, God is their creator, period. But for us who are saved, He's not only our creator, He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Father. The world can't say that. They are His enemy. What else? He's even our friend. So we have all these relationships with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that are benefit of being saved by being born again. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, I better move on in the lesson here. We're going to get run out of time. I'm always fighting that clock. You know, we're speaking of friends here for a moment. It's been said that if we go through our lives and we have had at least three good friends, that we're a blessed individual. And that's an interesting thing to think about. But what exactly makes a good friend? Well, if we went around the room and asked, hey, well, what makes a good friend? What would you be looking for in a good friend? Well, I suppose that one of the things at the top of the list would be honesty. If we count someone a good friend, that's because we know they're honest with us and we're honest with them. We might include other things on that list like dependability or we can depend on them, see, or trustworthiness, things like that. We would look for those traits in a person that we would consider a good friend? Well, as Christians, we have a friend, and that's God the Father, or the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that interchangeably because they're the same anyway, right? We have a friend that possesses these important qualities. He is trustworthy. In other words, you can trust him. He's dependable. You can count on him. He's faithful. He'll never fail. And he's true. He's a true friend who possesses truth. So it's a kind of a double-edged sword there. He's true and possesses truth. And so we have this relationship. We have this friend in our lives. It's the Lord Jesus Christ or the Heavenly Father, who has these qualities in what we would look for in a friend. Let me just read these verses to you. You can write the references down. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." But listen to this. "And there is a friend..." You have to look at me for this part. "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Who is that friend? Amen. John 15:15, write that reference down. "Henceforth," Jesus said, "henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." That's Jesus talking. "I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And then as we continue here on this thought of friends, probably two other great qualities that we would appreciate in a close friend would be helpfulness and trustworthiness. It's always great to know that you have a friend that you can call on for help at any time, day or night. A true friend helps without expecting anything in return. Amen. You know, a true friend won't help you and say, "Hey, okay, I'll do this if you do that." You know, they're always willing to help, not expecting anything in return. That's a good friend. Well, as your friend, God possesses all of these qualities in divine and unparalleled ways. He's always ready to stand next to us and help us. He's ready to help. He's always there to assist us in time of need. In fact, he gives us promises in Scripture along those lines, and we mentioned a couple already. But probably one of the most practical, helpful, encouraging of all these promises is today's transforming truth: "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," strengtheneth me. Through the transforming truth of this verse, we see that Christ gives us the power we need for any testing, any temptation, any challenge that we may face in life. And boy, oh boy, is this is an important verse. You know, don't be guilty of reading over. Look, we're talking about transforming truths. This is a truth that can actually transform your life if you let it. If you grab onto it, if you incorporate it, if you assimilate it into your living, it can transform you. And I hope that that's what we'll see today. So let's get into our outline here. So the first thing is the purpose. The purpose. And the purpose of this verse is found in the very first word, "I." I. Paul said, and he, guess what? He's sitting in a prison writing this. That's what's amazing to me. And often it's taught that the theme of Philippians is joy, the word joy. And you see the word joy throughout the book here. And Paul, sitting in a prison, horrible conditions, is writing this: "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." So that's kind of a perspective. We'll talk about that here a little later. But the first thing, the purpose is found in the first word, and we must make this truth personal. It's not about me, but the verse is directed towards me. You know, we often say it's not about you. No, well, of course not. It's about him. But in this instance, he wants us to be transformed personally. It's about me. I've got to take it personally. And thus the word "I." Secondly, When we fail to experience victory in our spiritual battles, it is often because we are not making the promises of God personal to us. So let's make it personal. Let me give you an example here. Let me find my place. Verse 13. Okay, ready? Ethlyn can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth her. Kayleen can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth her. Mike can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. Amen? You have to make it personal. Kelly can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. I've got to make it personal and say, this is a promise that God has given to me that no matter what He asks me to do, no matter what I need to go through, whatever He brings my way, I am capable of going through it or doing it or accomplishing it because He promises to strengthen me, thus giving me the power to do it. We must make it personal. Let's go to the second thing. There's not only the purpose, but the possibility. And the possibility is found in this second word, a single word, can. You know, I can't count how many times I heard Brother Howell say during my years at First Baptist Church and when I was in Bible college, to cut the word can't out of your dictionary. Remove the word can't from your vocabulary. Don't say I can't. We should have a can do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. We ought to. So the possibility of what can, the possibility, the potential, what things could possibly happen if we not only take it personally, make it personal, but we look at the possibilities of this word can. I can. From our text, we see the great potential that we possess when Christ strengthens us. You know, in Kelly's own power, I'm very limited. But when Christ gives me the strength, now we can get somewhere. And it's the same with you. Nor should we ever try to accomplish it in our own power, because normally that is just simply the power of the F-L-E-S-H, the flesh. And no good thing comes from the flesh. We need God's energy, His power, His strength. And that makes it spiritual and eternal. So we see the great potential. So then, now this you can see on the screen. I put a little ouch there. I wanted to bring the band-aids too, but this is good for you. You need a little ouch once in a while. You need a little stomp on the toe. So then, the reason we don't do what we ought to do, the reason we don't see spiritual victories, the reason we don't overcome is not because we can't, but we won't. Yeah, thank you. Ouch. You're supposed to say ouch, not me. Miss Suzanne got it. So yeah, ouch. Don't hang out your bottom lip and say, well, you know, it's such a hard battle. Oh, I can't seem to overcome. Oh, I just can't seem to get the victory. You're not claiming this verse. Because according to that verse, you can. You know who used to do this? Maybe some of you don't. Preacher might know. Who used to do this? Thank you, preacher. Now we know who the real preacher of this church is. Oh, amen. Ouch, yeah, ouch. Yeah. So now I know why I put the ouch in it. Little did I know what God was going to do. All right, number three. You see, we're unpacking this verse really word by word. So the purpose is I. Make it personal. The possibility is can. Boy, the potential that's wrapped up in that little three-letter word. Amen? Can. And then thirdly, the practice is the word do. Do. The practice of this word, or this verse, is found in that little word do. Two letters. What I want us to see is that it's not enough. I don't think I put this slide on there, but is the next thing on your the next blank is it's not enough to know blank? Yeah, I didn't put it on the slide. Sorry about that. So it's not enough to know the truth. You have to do your part by following the truth. It's not enough to know it. So, you know, if we did a survey, everybody in this room probably could almost quote this verse. Oh, yeah, I know that verse. I can do all things through Christ. We can verbalize it. It's not enough to verbalize it from your brain. We need to live it in our heart and say, this is a promise that my God has given me. And I need to make it mine. Make it personal. Make it see the potential, the possibilities. And then I want to practice it. So first of all, we're going to talk about biblical practice. Obviously, this verse was written many, many, many years, yea, centuries even, after a lot of the Old Testament heroes that we could read about. But as we think about biblical practice, we have to consider those that God has given us for an example, because they did it. They did what this verse is telling us. We'll start with Noah. Put yourself in Noah's shoes. You're in a world that's really, you know, sunshine every day. Oh, almost like Australia. Yeah, in Australia, out of 365 days, 360 is the number, sunshine. Yay. So here's Noah, beautiful weather all the time. God comes to him, says, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain, big time, big rain. Oh, what's rain? And you know the story. So for 120 years, boom, 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 boom. Hey, boys, bring that other beam over here, you know, for 120 years. Wow. You know, it'd be easy to at some point say, this is nonsense. I think I'll quit. God gave him the power, the ability, the strength, not just physically, but emotionally, the gumption to say, we've got to stick at this. Why? Because I believe God. God told us it's going to rain. There's going to be a worldwide flood. And he's instructed us to build this big boat, this ark, and we are going to accomplish it through his strength. And so he did. He kept at it. Amidst ridicule, criticism, oh, you're crazy, everybody is saying. You know, so he just kept at it. God gave him the strength to do it. Think about Joshua. When God said, we're going to take this wall down, Jericho. Now that wall, you know, it's not a wall like these walls. You know, these walls are what, 6 inches thick at most? Maybe it's more like four. There's 2x4s in the between. No, those walls of Jericho were feet thick. I can't remember, but I'm thinking it's like 8 feet was the number. 8 feet thick. Oh, I remember, you could drive a chariot across the top of the wall. So yeah, it would be at least eight feet thick, if not more. They just didn't sit on the ground. They went down in the ground. So almost like they had a foundation. And God tells Joshua, we're going to take these walls down. And Joshua's like, we don't have tanks. We don't have, you know, armored vehicles. We don't have, you know, all that stuff. How are we going to do this? And to top it off, God says, we're just going to march around. Okay, so... Yet God gave him the strength, the fortitude, and the faith to believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do to continue on. And we can, for time, we won't go into all these others, but we could talk about Solomon. Building the temple was a massive building project. And yet God enabled Solomon to continue through with that. And then Hosea, God told Hosea to marry a harlot. And even though she would be disfavored, she would be unfaithful time and time again. God strengthened him. It's all for a purpose and to teach us a lesson, but strengthen him to continue with her. And so all these things, that's the biblical practice. Oh, here's that line. I guess I put it in the wrong place. But it's not faith. It's not enough to know the truth. You have to do your part by following the truth. Then... not just biblical practice, in other words, we go back and see those who have gone before us, but modern practice, the here and now. Like those Bible heroes of old, God has called you. God has called you and me to accomplish something for Him. And guess what? You can do it. So I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, I can do it. Ready? One, two, three. I can do it. How are you going to do it? Because you're so strong and mighty? Because you've got lots of resources? Or you're very intelligent? Is that how you're going to do it? The answer should be no. God is going to strengthen you. That's how you're going to do it. So he's allowed you. For instance, if he's allowed you to be a boss of a major company, you can accomplish it in his strength. If he's called you to minister to a hurting teenager, you can do it in his strength. If he's called you to raise a family in a sinful culture, you can do it in his strength. He will give you the strength to do whatever you need to do. If he has allowed you to be hurt or mistreated by someone else, you can forgive that person and through his strength, continue on. He'll give you whatever it takes to get through. Whatever God has for you to do, you can do it in His strength. You must do your part by claiming the promise. That's the promise. That's this verse. And other verses like it. And then depending on His strength. Depending on His strength. Nothing happens with this Philippians 4:13 until you do your part. It's almost like if we go back to Romans 12, verse 1, nothing's going to happen until you lay down your life a living sacrifice. And so many verses like that in Scripture, Proverbs is full of them. There's a lot of verses that start, if, dot, 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 then, bup, bup, bup. God says, if you do this, then I will do that. Many times, it's set up that way. And so we have to do our part. Let's move on. Next, so we saw the purpose, I, make it personal, the possibility, can, great potential there. Practice is the doing of it. And then the perspective is found in these two words, this little phrase, all things. Now notice, God didn't put any exceptions in there. Amen. He didn't say all things, well, except this one here. All things, well, maybe not that one. All things, oh, I forgot about that one. No, it's just simply all things. I can do all things. And as we said, whatever God has for you, you can do it because He will give us the strength. So, concerning these all things, what exactly is the extent of that? What is the extent? Now, I mentioned this already, but I want you to put your thinking cap on and put yourself in Paul's shoes. Paul is sitting, as he's writing this, listen now, as he's writing these words, he is sitting in a cold, damp, yucky Roman prison. Perhaps he has shackles around his ankles, or maybe he's tied to a guard, or who knows what, but he's locked up in a cold, damp prison, and he's writing, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can you say wow? Wow. Yeah, wow. You know, that's amazing. Sitting in a prison, writing these words. Let's look at our text here. I want to show you another couple of verses. Chapter 4, verse 10. So keep in mind where he's at, what his conditions are. Then we read these verses. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that's put down. I know how to abound, or lifted up. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. Wow. That is totally amazing. And so, given his circumstances, here he's got this great perspective, the extent. It's just, we have a hard time wrapping our mind around it. It's just amazing. Paul recognized that even though he was in this filthy prison cell in Rome, he could still do God's work. He could still do all things through Christ who strengthened him. Rather than sit in prison bemoaning and crying and complaining about his circumstances, he decided to rejoice in the Lord. That's challenging to me, friend. I don't know about you. Because we are prone to complain about our circumstances. And here clearly we see a transforming truth that can lift us far above any circumstance. We can fly like eagles instead of pecking on the ground like turkeys. And so we need to grab a hold of that. That's an amazing, amazing truth. Let's move on. The extent of the promise is simply all things. God will strengthen you to do exactly what He wants you to do, and circumstances should not be an issue. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You name whatever you want, you're not sitting in prison. That's the perspective. So we could rattle off a plethora of all kinds of circumstances. Well, you know, I've got this happening. You're not sitting in prison, in a cold, damp prison cell. Oh, I've got this going on. Yeah, but you're not sitting in prison. See, that's the perspective. We must grab that perspective and hang on to it. In all things, let me see if we got another one here. No. Okay, the limitations. Limitations. You say, oh, limitations. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's not what you think. There's two limitations here, and they're really both of them fall on our shoulders. Two limitations in this verse. Number one is about the will of God. So this I can do all things must fall into the realm of God's will. In other words, you're not going to do it apart from God or outside His will. He's not going to strengthen you for that. So He will strengthen us to do the things that He has called us to do, the things that He wants us to do. It's within His will. And the second limitation is a lack of faith. We must believe God will do His part and then expect it. So if you don't believe God's going to do what He says He's going to do, then you set yourself up for failure right off the bat. If it ever seems that God has given you a task too great for you to do, you have no reason to fear. As we walk in His will, He will equip us to do all that He's called us to do. It's important to remember that. Here we see this passage. Let me see here. I've lost my place in my notes. Yeah, here we go. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see Him performing miracles in response to faith. And here's one of those stories. Matthew 9:20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him, came up behind the Lord, and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, this was her in her own mind and heart thinking, if I can just touch His garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned Him about, and when He saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Wow. He responded to her great faith, and the woman was made whole from that hour. You believe that story? That's not Mickey Mouse. That's not Walt Disney. That's Bible. That's a true event that took place. And she was healed of a 12-year problem simply by her faith. And an amazing thing. So how is your perspective today, friend? Are you burdened about with a load of care? Are you struggling to pay the bills? Is it hard to finish your growing to-do list? Do you even find the physical strength to get dinner on the table? If you remember that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, you can get through those things because He'll give you the strength. And then lastly, oh no, it's not lastly, we've got one more after this, the power. Number five is the power. Again, the power in this verse simply is through Christ. Now, we must say, if Christ is not a part of your life, then this verse doesn't apply to you. Because the power source here is Christ, and Christ must be a part of your life. You must have had a time in your life when you realize you're a sinner, you realize you can't get to heaven on your own, no matter how many good things, good works you attempt to do, that all falls short. So in your helplessness, you turn to Christ and say, He paid the price for me. He bought and purchased with His blood eternal life. And he offers it to me freely, and if I take it, he becomes mine and I become his. That's how we're saved. And then you can now claim this verse. So it's through Christ. Those of us who are saved have access to an amazing power. We have access to an amazing power. Of course, this power is not an it or a thing. The power is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The power is a person, capital P. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it's when our strength falls short and limits us, it's His strength that supersedes. He gave us this verse. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when we're in the midst of trials or temptations, we may be tempted to pray, Lord, I just can't do this. Listen, you ever pray this? Please take it away. Please take this burden away. Please take this temptation away. That's not always really the best solution. When you face a trial, rather than asking the Lord to take it away, ask Him to help you through it. Paul actually had an instance like this. He had the Bible just simply calls it a thorn in the flesh. It was some physical ailment or something that just plagued him. He wanted rid of it. He felt it hindered him in some way. And he asked the Lord on three times, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. Of course, the Lord gave him that famous verse that we read sometimes, that His grace would be sufficient. And God did not take it away, but God enabled him to live on through it, with it, through it. So God gave him strength, great personal testimony of the Lord there. Then sometimes we look at this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, says the Lord. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whoops. And the last aspect of this is number 6, the promise. So if you read down there, you see we've got the whole verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the promise. And we're going to look at 3 different aspects of this. How do we do that? How do we actually claim the strength that He has for us? Well, it comes by desiring Him, trusting Him, and holding on to Him. And so, desiring Him. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that I desire? Well, we could desire a lot of things, and that's not wrong, but our chief desire should be the Lord. Always remember that God wants to be your chief desire. Psalm 73 says, Whom I have in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The psalmist speaking to God, saying, there's no one else I desire more than you, Lord. Amen. Number 2, by putting your faith in Him. Putting your faith in the Lord. If God can save you from an eternal hell, don't you think He's capable of carrying you through the affairs of this world? That's an amazing truth in itself. We fail at that oftentimes. But we have to remember what God has done concerning our salvation. Proverbs 3 goes along with that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then the third thing is to hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. No matter what trials or hardship God allows you to go through, you must never turn your back on Him. You see, Paul sitting in that Roman prison, it'd be easy to say, you know what? I've had it. I've had it up to here with this Christianity stuff. I've had it with the beatings. I've had it with the whippings and the scourgings. I've had it with being left on the side of the road half dead. I'm fed up with all this. And turn his back on God. But boy, he didn't. He sat in that prison and rejoiced and said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, our conclusion goes back to what we were saying earlier about friendship in the beginning of the lesson. Jesus Christ will encourage you more than any other friend you could ever have. Amen? All right, let's take a break and we'll get ready for church here shortly. Thank you.